first, before I start, I wanted to ask you about the gender parity task force that we're part of, and sure. sort of what your journey was to get to that meeting, and you know what your vision is for that organ, you know, that group that we're starting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, it's something I've always been passionate about. You know, I was a women's studies major, and you know, just kept up with the discussions about parity in theater, and I'm on the Stage Source board, so I've been stepping into more of a leadership role lately. So when the whole the summit happened, and this, you know about the summit,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and that the impetus came for talking about gender parity in a serious way. Wanted to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Something I've discussed with my colleagues, and I hope. I think it's exciting that we're tackling it on a number of fronts. I mean, I think, you know, the data collection is really important. And the sort of philosophical or like broad discussions about our goals is very important. And this, you know, the discussion of inclusion in general and, you know, I mean, ultimately I think the aim of the task force isn't or shouldn't be just gender parity, but all kinds of parity and, you know, an inclusion of a much more diverse range of voices in theater and representation of diverse stories and all that. So, and I'm part of the subgroup that's doing we call it, I guess, boots on the ground. So that does, you know, it's really, and I, you know, I guess this is what I'm better at is doing kind of, you know, things we can do right now, like let's go all support a play by a female writer that's being put on or a play that, you know, represents women and represents women's stories and stuff like that, or yeah. has a large cast of a lot of women. So that group is really fun, and we're working on stuff right now to do things like that. So
yeah,
excited to be a part of it.
So tell me about the stories that you write. Why do you choose to write plays?
Why do I choose to write plays? Oh god, I can't keep my mouth shut, I guess. I fell in love with theater. I started writing stories when I was really small, you know, from the beginning, and then I started doing theater, and I eventually kind of put those things together and realized that there was just no more fun way to tell stories than to write plays and see them performed on stage. So I've been doing that for, you know, over 20 years. I've always had, you know, women main characters in my stories, and I've seen my stories evolve from kind of I think there's always kind of been a grappling with that, with issues of where I say it. With women's agency and voice, and how do you, you know, I think my first play, I was posting about it on Facebook, was about, you know, a woman who had like the, you know, husband and the kids, and sort of had this like nervous breakdown, and it was, you know, it was like a farcical comedy, very silly, and she sort of stops working and stops taking care of the house, and you know, the house sort of strikes off in a new direction, and it's just, I mean, it, you know, it was sort of funny and you know, like feminist in a way and kind of, but there was a lot of angst about it, about, you know, how do you be a woman with an independent career and also, you know, have the family stuff and,
mm-hmm.
So, and now I live that, so it hasn't gone away. And then, you know, and then I had a play about a woman, a single woman who adopts, she decides to adopt, but she adopts a 40-year-old man.
So, really?
yeah. So there's like, and you know, and again, that was like a very farcical. But again, there's sort of a lot of ambivalence and, you know, children, love, life, kind of. And then Burning, the play, and then this led up to Burning, the play that was most recently produced, which is very political and deals with, you know, the main character is a lesbian who gets kicked out of the military. And then it deals with all these, like, very serious issues about sexual assault and homophobia and violence. And
wow, that sounds fantastic. Where did you get that produced?
That was at Boston Playwrights Theater.
Okay. Wow. And so relevant today, and that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So when you start generating your stories, creating them,
yep.
Do you start from story? Do you start from characters or images? Is there something in particular that you see when you start writing?
It's never totally consistent. I mean, I think usually for me, the impetus is some kind of premise. Like, what if, blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
And then characters kind of emerge from that, and story, you know, I play out the story.
Mm-hmm.
What if that happened? And that's usually how it happens.
Mm-hmm. So which writers do you take inspiration from?
A lot. I think Carol Churchill was someone I got into maybe in college. I mean, I think in my early on, I really, my comedic style, I think, was influenced by Oscar Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
and Tom Stoppard, and the sort of the playfulness and grappling with huge numbers of themes and everything. And who else? And Susan Laurie Parks, who I got to meet in college.
You met her in college?
I did, yeah. I went to Wesleyan, right in your neighborhood. And we had a women's playwright festival when I was a sophomore, and actually Marie Irene Furness came and Susan Laurie Parks came. Wendy Wasserstein came. So, yeah.
How did you know?
Really, like, awesome.
Did they go, like, how did some of them go to Wesleyan? Like, how did they?
No. We just, you know, invited them to
come.
Yeah, I had to call them on the phone.
And say, like, hi, would you like to come to this
festival? Hi, Miss Furness. I'm a random college student. Would you like to come? Yeah.
Wow. Do they impart any wisdom or anything when they came?
Sure. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. They each gave a talk. We had, you know, it was a whole festival, so we had some plays performed by female playwrights. And then each of the guest playwrights gave a talk. I think it all started because Wendy Wasserstein was coming. There was some special fund, there's like a funded lecture spot, and she signed on, and then one of my theater professors was like, let's do a whole, Women's Playwright Festival. But yeah, it was pretty memorable listening to them. Susan Laurie Parks was only like 29 at the time. I mean, she was famous, but it was way before the Pulitzer and all that. That was pretty exciting.
So, do you think that women writers tell different stories than men writers?
A lot of the time. I mean, it's not, I don't want to tell anyone what to write or, say that there's a woman voice or, because of course that's silly and there's many, many women voices, but I certainly think there's enough of a difference that, we need to make sure they are represented, proportionally.
So you said sometimes not, it just depends. Like, I guess,
yeah.
How do you think if women are writing differently, like how do you think that they're presenting their stories or crafting their stories that might differ from men at the same,
Well, this would be a great sort of study. I think women have innovated a lot of exciting experiments in form. The sort of traditional narrative, linear narrative, gets played with. Or, I think a lot of female playwrights are just more comfortable being non-linear and sort of more focused on creating feelings, like reactions to characters and situations. And not so much about, creating an intellectual point, but creating like an experience that you have watching that play.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then with the linear structure, what are there limitations to the linear structure in your opinion, or?
Sure. And I tend to be pretty linear. I don't consider myself like a, extremely experimental in the format, at least in form, but sure, there are limitations to every structure. So, and lots of men experiment with form too. It's not like that they don't, but I think because of I think the biggest problem is that, the kind of forms that, it's more about, the power structure and who's allowed to say what's good and what's not. So certain types of form are privileged.
That's interesting.
Yeah. By critics, by artistic directors, by, maybe you could argue by theater goers, because the theater audience is, when a theater is dependent on its subscribers or whatever, it's, and only a certain class of people or a certain, economically privileged class of people can, subscribe to the theater, and then it's their tastes that sometimes drive seasons and, pardon the cat.
Do you think audiences are conditioned to view theater in a specific way?
Sometimes, yeah. It can be hard to break. I teach playwriting, and I have. So I'm responding to plays, student work all the time. And I mean, it's been interesting to kind of watch myself respond. And, you know, and I think I notice myself kind of privileging certain kinds of, like, this is good, and this is different from that, so it's not good. And it's, I mean, I try to consciously take that apart. It's like, all right, well, this is different from what I'm used to, but, you know, sort of saying, like, well, this is what it is, and this is how I respond to it. And it's up to you, the playwright, to decide what to do about that. I mean, I maybe I'm telling you that I can't really understand this play, and I don't get it. But you know, maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't care if I get it. That's okay. I mean, maybe it's not for me to get. Or maybe you do, and then I can help you, you know, change your play so it's a little more. So I mean, it's like the line between, right, you know, this is not good. This is like sort of inferior. This is about quality, and you know, this is just about the type of play that it is. So, I feel that happening in myself. So, and I think that's what happens in the larger world with, you know, the sort of the gatekeepers deciding what play is good and what play is not.
Yeah. Are there any writers right now who are discussing gender issues in their work? How do you view their plays, if you can think of any of them?
Let's see. I'm a bad one to ask because, you know, being a mom of young kids, there's a lot that I don't get to see right now that's current. So I'm very not up on, let's see, let me just think of what I have seen recently. I mean, things that I've been really excited about, are like, you know, Annie Flick's work.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't, not so much for gender. I mean, she is, like, you know, I saw a play of hers that it was all guys. Or actually most of her plays are, plays I've seen have been, mostly men. But, I mean, she's amazing at taking apart, she's, like, she gives me a totally new experience mm-hmm. going to the theater, you know, and I just find that really exciting.
Wait, Annie Baker or Annie Flick?
Annie Baker. Sorry.
Okay. Is there any play in particular of Annie Baker's that you, that's your favorite?
Flick.
Oh, the Flick. Okay.
Aliens. Aliens was the other one I saw.
Oh, okay. And what about the, I mean, is there something about the way she, you know, she does these enormous silences. Does that do anything for you?
Kind of. I don't think that's quite as exciting as, what amazes me about her is just her depth of perception about people and her bravery in kind of putting people's awkwardness and humanity and just, you know, not so pretty reality on the stage. I mean, that's what's moving to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes it's a little, you know, I even felt the flick was kind of precious in its format, you know, I was like, all right, well, whatever. But the story itself, like, of these people was just so beautifully compassionate and honest and, you know, and just real. That's what I like to watch. So you're asking about writers who are representing gender, like gender issues in their plays?
Yeah, or, I mean, if there's just, you know, characters that really captivate you, like a very strong woman character, or, you know, it's really open-ended to whatever strikes you, I guess.
Well, I just saw Top Girls, which is, you know, kind of a classic now, but, you know, for good reason.
Yeah.
The way, you know, the all-woman cast and the sort of focus on women and their place in the world and how it affects their relationships with each other. And it's an important piece. You know, it's been around for 30-some years now, but...
Really? Wow. I can't believe
it. I think it was written in the 80s.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, how would you define a strong woman character? Is it important for you to write strong women characters? If so, why?
Yeah. I think the key thing for me is agency. Like, you know, I certainly don't really want to write sort of super... I mean, I might. Super women are cool. I'm not really interested in writing perfect. Whoa. What was that noise?
Oh, sorry. I was just...
I'm certainly not interested in writing perfect women. But, you know, having agency, like... not basing their decisions around, you know, the need for a relationship or, like, you know, the happy and, you know, I'm raising two daughters and they're, you know, obsessed with Disney princesses and it's just exhausting to, think about how to counteract that. I mean, it's so, like, I just realized going through it, like, how ingrained in me it was growing up that, you know, the happy ending is that you get married.
Yeah.
Sure, that's happy, you know, for a lot of people. It's not that it's not, but it's so limited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be happy without getting married. You can be happy without marrying a man. Yeah. You can be happy, you know, you can be happy... in a relationship that's not a romance. So, you know, other kinds of relationships are important, or, you know, other things are important, other achievements are important. Mm-hmm. So, and I, you know, I've always been a feminist, but it's taken me this long to really realize how that was drilled into me. And I, you know, I think in my early plays, there's this sort of, there's like a little bit of capitulation to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the happy ending is somehow kind of dependent on a male character. And then I was just like, no. I mean, and again, it's not that it can be, but I think agency is important. Like, you know, I think a strong woman character is one who has the power to decide her fate.
Mm, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I took a writing class with Melinda Lopez this summer and she's...
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And she was talking about how she gets very frustrated when it's like, and, you know, kiss, and then that's it. Like, that's the end of a scene.
That's so not it.
It's so not it. Like, keep going past the kiss. What happens next? Like, which makes a lot of sense, because if you see it in that moment, it's, I don't know, there's something, I don't really know how to describe it, but it just sort of, there's this, like, finality about it, but it's not, because it's a moment in time, and so,
yeah.
I don't know. But I like what you said about fate, and I mean, while we don't have control over everything in our lives, I feel like there's, I don't know, a lot of times where you see women characters on stage that have no power whatsoever,
right.
And they're being pushed around by other characters. Right. But I actually, do you know about the Bechdel test?
Yes.
So is that a part of your writing at all? Do you think about that when you're writing?
Well, you know, I only learned about it recently. And, you know, I think most of my writing manages to pass the Bechdel test, but, and it's a pretty low bar, really.
Right.
So, but it's good to think about. I mean, it is, and it's amazing how when you apply it to especially sort of popular movies or plays, like how many cannot pass it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not that every movie has to, I mean, you know, we need some movies about guys, that's fine, or about, that are about romance, you know, but it's just numbers, like you would think, if all things being equal, that like about half of movies would pass the Bechdel test, right?
Right.
Or at least. And I don't think we're anywhere near that. Yeah. Although I have not done a study. But I'm pretty sure there are a lot that don't. So.
Have you ever started writing a play and the gender of a main character changed during your writing process?
No.
So when you go into a play, you sort of have the characters mapped out, I guess?
Yeah. And that's an interesting question, because if you do, I think people would sort of feel different ways about that depending on where they fall on their perceptions of gender. Like, you know, some people would be like, sure, who cares if a character's gender changes? And I think that's valid. And then other people would be like, well, you know, if it's that, I mean, that seems flippant. you're changing a character's gender for, like, it's not, then that's, you didn't have a sort of integrated conception of the character to begin with, because you didn't, but, I mean, I think that certainly as I've gotten older and had a lot more experience and just sort of come, learn more about gender identity and, met more people who are, you know, fall in various places on the gender identity spectrum. And, you know, I have come to, you know, my ideas have certainly changed about that. And, you know, I think it is fluid to an extent. And it's made me think about, you know, maybe some of my characters don't need to be a specific gender, or, you know, maybe more people should write gender-neutral characters. First of all, because there are a lot of genderqueer people out there who need work.
Yeah.
Actors, you know. And also because maybe gender is not, you know, why should gender be an essential part of that character? I mean, sometimes it is. And sometimes maybe it doesn't have to be. So just throw it open.
Mm-hmm. What kind of theater do you think is the easiest to get produced? Do you ever feel pressured to create plays that fit in with this mold?
Oh, interesting. The easiest to get produced? Well, I guess it helps if you're a white man.
Yeah.
And you're dead.
That's a good clear answer, yeah.
No, I think that changes over time. I mean, I think the sort of mass audiences, like the audiences for commercial theater, or the, you know, like stuff that's familiar. So it's kind of more, it's like whatever's been done already and sort of been established. I mean, even a groundbreaking play like, you know, Angels in America, or, you know, something like that. You know, it's now, I mean, there's still probably a lot of people who won't like it because it's of the nature of the material, but, you know, that's probably not a risky, because of its success, it's not that risky.
Yeah.
What's risky? But you know what I mean? Like
plays that are in the canon already.
So, and you know, and as new plays break new ground, the canon becomes, you know, the canon has become more diverse. Not as diverse as it should be, but still, you know, Wendy Wasserstein's in the canon.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Laurie Parks is in the canon to a degree. Yeah. Or Churchill, or, you know, August Wilson. But, I mean, that's kind of things that are, like, new plays are the hardest to produce.
And within new plays, which ones have you observed to be the most, you know, successful when playwrights are trying to get them produced?
It's hard to say. And I think that there's a certain amount of accessibility Mm-hmm. That, like, it's, you know, provocative, but not too provocative. Mm-hmm. So, like, so innovative, but not, like, crazy experiment. And so, it's a good question. I'm not good at answering it, but.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, I mean, that's probably something to be answered by looking at, you know, like, what new plays have taken off. Mm-hmm. And gone on to Broadway or gone on to widespread production in the regional theaters or which plays have won Pulitzers. It's, I mean, I think there's, you know, a desire for big stories, a desire for, you know, innovation to an extent, mm-hmm. like something new and exciting, as long as it's not too crazy. I don't know. I think my plays might fall into kind of a bit of a vortex in, and you know, and sometimes really, really well-written plays that aren't about any, you know, that aren't about anything that profound, but are really entertaining or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Make it. And I think my plays might sometimes fall into a vortex between, like, you know, they tend to be kind of intimate and about relationships. You know, and about things that are important, but sort of not worldly. That's my, could be just my, like, hang up. I don't know.
Are there characters or plays that you still haven't found a place for? Are there outside forces that have prevented you from writing these characters or plays?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's just things that I just don't want to write about. I don't think so. And I mean, I can't think of anything that I sort of have burning on my brain that I just can't bring myself to write or don't. I mean, I guess I have fairly, I don't really write expecting to make it big. Because I know that that would change my writing a lot. And I wouldn't really write about what I really want to write about. So I kind of just write about what I really want to write about and hope for the best.
And last question, what would gender parity in the theater look like to you?
It would look like, you know, roughly 50% of the new plays, of the plays getting produced, being written by women. It would look like, you know, again, roughly 50% or more of plays having a female main character or at least, you know, some strong female characters in it, at least 50% or more plays having at least 50% or more roles for women.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, but I mean, it's quantity and quality,
mm-hmm.
you know, good roles for women as well as more plays that are, have all women cast or who have like lots of women in them. So, and diverse, and more variety in, like, gender expression and gender identity in the plays that we see.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing this. Good luck.
Thank you.